Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman for this 25th, I believe it is, Wednesday of March. Just a few things here to speak about. First of all, our website will soon be up and running, and like I told you, when that starts, the email messages that we've been sending of previous recordings will stop, and you will just be able to go and download them straight from the website. We'll be putting them there for everybody who wants to go and download and listen to them. That will soon be up and running. Secondly, we'll also have podcasts on a number of issues which are not necessarily end time, because there are a number of things that I have to talk to you about, and certain things that people have to learn that are not necessarily end time. Therefore, I do not bring them to this show. I believe that some people need to hear them. So I'll be having podcasts there, which also you can go and listen to at your convenience, as well as prophecy in the news, things which are making news that is connected to prophecy in the Bible, headlines around the world that are connecting to some of the things we are talking about, so that you can follow and be abreast without necessarily going through all the news channels that some of us go through, because sometimes I have to go through so many news channels to pick up a few things that are of interest to this particular thing. So all these things will be there, as well as a letter from me updating you on some of the things that we are doing. And just so that you know, the conference is in July, towards the end of July. We are going to go. We are having a meeting. We are going to go and secure the place where it is going to be. I'll tell you where it is going to be. And I told you that the magnitude of it is something that I didn't initially have in mind. However, the Lord was kind of leading me into doing things in a certain magnitude. So just know that we have, I'll tell you the dates really pretty soon. And it's in July, but we do have, because of the magnitude that the Lord has been placing on my heart, we do have a budget that is extremely big, in tens of millions. So just as you led, just go and sow into this particular thing, because we have to spread the word across the nation. It's going to be of importance in a certain area, because after that conference, then we are going to start spreading outside of Kampala and making sure as many people as possible listen to this word. So if you led, go and sow into this thing, because I am telling you, it is good ground. And if you partner, try to be consistent, because consistency is the key to everything. I've told you that before. If somebody who prays 10 minutes every day is better than somebody who will take 2 weeks without praying and then pray for 5 hours. There's that bit of consistency is one of the key things in the kingdom. And of course, because it comes through discipline, and discipline actually is the source of so much achievement in the realm in which we are. So just I just had to get those announcements out of the way before we get into our subject for today, which is going to focus on a bit of the mark of the beast in actual life, reality. Now, we are not talking about things which we've explained to you before from the Bible. We've gone through the book of Revelation, so you know all about these things, about Revelation 13 and what it says about the mark of the beast, and how a time is going to come when nobody will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast, or the number of his name, and what people call the 666. Now, of course, what we didn't know is how it's going to be such a reality in the time in which we are alive, and it's now currently a reality. But I'll just read from that scripture. So, but before I get into the scripture, just if you're led and have to, because we need quite an amount of money for this conference, and it's of the Lord. So if you're really led, give out of the usual means, because this is good ground, if you're led to do it. Okay, now he says he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast. Remember, he's talking about three things: the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Which, now, there are three, those are three distinct things. There's nobody will be able to buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, or the number of the beast's name. Now, those are three things which have to be, and either one of them is actually the mark of the beast. So now we'll get into that into that detail sometime later. But now it says, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, I'll tell you this, that this mark of the beast, I mean, we grew up kind of fascinated about it, and when is the mark of the beast coming, and what is it going to be like, and how will people accept to take a mark on their right hand or on their forehead when they know precisely what that means in terms of the Bible, and how that basically seals their place in hell. And how is it that people are going, I mean, what would they tell people to take this thing? And I know that nobody, they will not force anybody to take it, because then, you know, you cannot be blamed if they kind of got you and tied your hands and put it on you. Nobody is going to be doing that. But people are going to be going and getting it voluntarily. Now, they already are. We are not talking about things which are going to happen 10 years from now. We are talking about things which happened 5 years ago. Okay, we are actually, in actual sense, we are living in that time. Now, the mark of the beast now is coming in the form, I've told you this before, of an RFID, that is a radio frequency identity. That is a small piece of, as I've told you before, which is as the size of a grain of rice, which they put, which they are putting out. This is where they are putting it. I'm not telling you about what's in the Bible. I am telling you about what is happening in the real world right now. They are putting it strictly in the right hand or in the forehead. Now, they asked why the forehead, and they said because some people don't have a hand. Okay, they are not putting it in the left hand. They are not putting it in any other place. They are putting it in the right hand or in the forehead, precisely the way the Bible says. And have people started taking it? Here, as many as 3 million Americans are believed to have taken it already as we speak right now. By the close of last year, 2.5 million Americans had taken it. And how they got to take it? A number of ways. And of course, there is what they call, they exert some kind of soft pressure that makes you consider the alternatives, and then you choose to just take it. Now, is this the mark of it? It is. That's it. It is. And I'm telling you that it is the mark of the beast. And people are taking it, because once you take it, so many things happen in your life. Now, I'll tell you about that later on in this show. But I'll first tell you that an employee in Canada, he's, you know, people who work for security agencies, and not just in Canada, also actually in America, but an employee, a company was taking out a policy, and all of the employees had to take this RFID, radio frequency identity, and it was kind of like a must. So this guy says no, because he was a Christian, and says no, I'm not taking this because it's against my religious beliefs. And of course they can't force you there, because it's a very liberal society. So he said, if you force me to take it, then I'll sue you. So they actually relaxed it, but they gave him a card, an external card which he can use. But what they do is they make the card they are giving you as an alternative very expensive, and you have to pay for it. Okay, so now they exert pressure without necessarily. So they will tell you, if you take this RFID, it's going to cost you, let's say, $20. However, if you refuse to take it and you choose to get a card which is external, which is you hold outwardly, it is going to cost you, let's say, $1,500. And either way, you are paying for it. So now they kind of exert soft pressure, then they threaten to fire and what. So people are taking it, and especially people now in security support now, and this has become extremely rampant in now the 6.5 or 7 years of Barack Obama. It has become very, very rampant, because he has made it his cardinal thing to spread this. So it's not just the spreading of the liberalist propaganda, homosexuals and what, and all those things which Obama has come and implanted on the whole world, but there are deeper things. Now, I'll tell you this, that according to Obamacare, which is medical care, which is trying to get the insurance companies to surrender the medical care to the government, Now insurance companies, of course, are privately run. Now they're trying to surrender it to the government to create some kind of socialist system, which is the same as what they have in many of the European countries, the National Medical Services in England and so many of the others. Others like Sweden, your insurance is with your passport. Every citizen is entitled to medical insurance. So anywhere in the world. So if you're a Swedish citizen and you are in Uganda, let's say, your passport is your insurance. You just have to go to any medical center which is recognized, and they will, and if you're sick and you get treated, and then that health center sends the bill to the Swedish embassy and they will pay. So you don't pay any money for health. Now, of course, all these things are really advantageous, and so many people kind of like, it feels nice. So, you know, anywhere you are in the world, as long as you have your passport and you're a citizen, you go to any hospital in the world, present your passport, and they will send the bill to the Swedish embassy, and this embassy will pay for your, the Swedish government will pay for your, you know, medical expenditure. That's how it is. Now they are trying to create that kind of system. You know, but of course America is like, you know, the melting point of capitalism, and they prefer to do things where everybody is concerned. I mean, everybody is responsible for their own financial state. You don't have to pay a lot of money to cater for poor people if you're a rich person. The capitalist system is set around the principle of if you're poor, that's your business. That is because you are not innovative enough, you're not creative enough, you're not done enough to be rich. Of course, the presumption is that the ground is level and anybody who has creativity, innovation and all those things can become rich. That's a presumption. And for most part, maybe it is true in some countries. If you're poor, that's your business. We are not to blame for your poverty. Go and work hard, go and do the other things which rich people have done and get rich as well. So that's the capitalist system, and it's been now like the principle basically on which America has driven everything about itself. But it's now Obama is changing that and creating some kind of social, you know, system where the rich are overtaxed to take care for them. Now it sounds good, you know, it sounds good and everything, but where it is heading is not a good thing. And that's the precise point, because it's not going to a good place. Now, of course, which is kind of making America so much like Europe. And like one person said, Europe is one giant religious cult without the religion. In other words, when one opinion spreads across Europe, everybody thinks like that. Now, I've been talking to some Ugandans who came from here and are now staying in Europe. And they, within a short time, they already think like Europeans. And then they can't distinguish themselves and know that we are not part of this. And like, they don't even know why they believe the things they believe. I'm not talking about basic things. I'm talking about certain things which are deeply ingrained, which determine your eternity. Now, if you are one of them, be different, because you believe in God, even if you're in an environment which does not. You insist on your belief in God, insist on the things which people call stupid. Now, all of them will think these things are stupid, and they spread this kind of thinking across to Africa. And because there are so many people here in Africa, especially the elite, who think everything that comes from Europe and is dressed in intelligence as what is good, they kind of sweep so many people across. Now, an example is the other day, Creflo Dollar was put up, you know, a thing saying that the minister wants to buy a new jet and asking people to contribute $300 each to the Creflo Dollar ministry is buying a new jet. And now, of course, they got it from his website and they put it in the UK newspapers, the devil-driven UK newspapers, and made it sound like one of the most outrageous things. How can a pastor ask money to buy a private jet? And they make it look like if anybody gives money, they are stupid or not. But we don't think like that. Now, the point is that if I hope to one day have a private jet of my own, I will start by sowing into somebody who is buying a private. You understand? That's how the principle of God works. Now, if you want to get rich in the principle of Babylon, go ahead. I wish you luck. You will not succeed. Where, you know, the old pastors are charlatans and what? How can you do this? And the principle of the Bible is different. But I have told you this before, that choose what you believe. if you want to believe with them, go ahead and believe with them. Don't try to mix both ways, because the people of the world have a belief system by which they run their lives, how they expect to become rich and everything, and they believe in it 100%. They don't want to hear about your sowing and reaping. Now the trouble is that there are people in the church who want to mix both. You also be convinced with your way, your Bible way. Don't try to mix it with the world the way. You cannot put new wine in old wine skins. Don't try to mix both of them. If you believe in the godly way, like I do, like so many people I know do, don't try to mix. Leave the world, Lord, the people with their own ways of doing things. You do things the biblical way, and it will work for you, because I know it has worked for so many people, and I know it works for me as well, because and I totally believe in it. I don't want to hear what the world has to say about how I get rich. And when I said the other time that if Bill Gates is here telling people how to get rich, I will not even want to listen to him. Some people think that's outrageous. But the truth is, I don't want to hear how Bill Gates gets rich, because he's not even going to tell you the truth. And secondly, he gets rich the worldly way. I don't want that. I want it the Bible way. So if Creflo Dora comes and is telling people how to get rich, I will go and listen to him, because I know that he got rich in the Bible. Or Jesse Duplantis, or Kenneth Copeland, or such people. Those ones I will go and listen to, because those are the people who believe like me. Now, I'll tell you this, that that Obamacare thing, now getting back to the RFID, that Obamacare thing has something where people have to have their medical history on their bodies. It's disguised and it's amidst a lot of paperwork and what, but some people dug it out, and I've been reading some people who have actually dug it out, and in a very subtle way it basically says that by 2017, when Obama stops being president, he'll stop being president around January 2017, by then everybody should have that RFID. And I've seen news channels saying that it's becoming popularized, and by 2017 they are projecting everybody in America will have it. 2017, just in case you failed to realize, is 2 years away from now. And they are saying by that time everybody in America is going to have it. Now, right as we speak right now, like I told you, 3 million people already have it, and that's in America alone, because in Europe it's already being popularized. In England it will just sweep through, because people have already dismissed the Bible and they don't want to know anything. So if you tell them mark of the beast, they will laugh in your face, but they are going to hell, but they will laugh in your face, and they will laugh all the way to hell. And in China it's already being done, in Japan it's being done, and in so many countries across the world. And that is now, that is the mark of the beast. I want you to know this, that is the mark of the beast. But of course it is being promoted in, and now these things are in the Bible, and now we are seeing them happening before our eyes. And they said it strict the right hand or forehead, just under the hairline, you know, where your hair ends, just a bit under there, that's where they are putting it. And it's very small, the size of a grain of rice. In the right hand, they mostly put it in that flesh that is between the thumb and the other fingers, and the other finger, you know, that flesh that separates the thumb from other fingers. So they plant it in there, and it takes on less than 10 seconds to put it in there. It's almost painless, it's very slight pain, and it has a battery that is a helium battery that runs off the same energy that your body runs, so you don't need to charge it. Your body charges it by just you being alive, and if you're dead it dies, but then again you're dead, so they don't need that information any longer, but then they will know you're dead. So it's in there, very convenient. Now a gentleman in the American Department of Defense, an employee, refused to take it because he said it sounded suspicious. Why do you want to put something in my right hand and forehead? I grew up in a Christian family, and they told me something about the mark of the beast. So, and they told him, we are going to fire you if you don't take it. He said, if you fire me, I'm going to sue you. Because there is still a law that you cannot force somebody to do something against their religious beliefs in America. So, and they knew, of course, he would sue them and get a lot of money. So they told him, okay, we'll give you an alternative, which is cheap, which is a lot more expensive. I told you three million people already, and maybe 3 million people already have it. And I've told you the Obama administration has given the people doing this thing up to 2017 for all Americans to have that wearable technology. I've told you it's being put in school children, who are said to be, you know, likely to get lost and things like that. So they're putting it in kids, and guess what? Their parents are happy and they are cheering because our children cannot get lost. You just go to a central computer and they tell you the child is there. Initially, they did this for dogs, and all dog owners went and they would go and, you know, just basically like stepping, and they step on this thing inside the dog. And then you could not lose your dog, because if you lost it, you just went some computer somewhere, and which they control, of course, and they will tell you your dog is right down here, and you go and pick it up. Now they are doing it for human beings, and people are cheering on. Now the big question is that don't these people who are taking this thing in their right hand on their foreheads, don't they know that this is the Bible this is Bible prophecy fulfilled? Don't they know that they are receiving the mark of the beast? I mean, how can somebody go there and line up to actually take this wearable technology if they even have the slightest idea of the mark of the beast and what it means? That's the big question, you know. But the answer is so simple, and the answer is that for this to have happened and for people to have accepted all this, it was first of all necessary to dismiss the Bible as any source of anything. So if you tell somebody that, you know, this thing is very convenient, it's going to help you doing to do this and this and this, but the only resistance against it, the Bible, he will laugh in your face and say, what, the Bible? So I shouldn't do this because of the Bible? And I mean, he will make you out to look a fool, and you look so intelligent and you look like a fool. Yeah, but you're a fool who is going to heaven, and he's a fool and he's a intelligent person who is going to hell. That's how the devil packages his deception. And now this, what they are taking is actually the mark of the beast. And so they had to first of all dismiss the Bible and then make a mockery of it. So if anyone resists taking the mark on account of what they believe, you'll be made out to be a fool. But the Bible warns, be careful, because Jesus warned specifically and said that be careful that you are not. Jesus warned so many times when talking about this time, and said be careful that you are not deceived, because even the very elect will be deceived. Okay, as if it were possible, Jesus said even the very elect will be deceived. Then he said therefore watch and pray. And then he said that watch and pray that you'll be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, because the deception is going to be at. And now all this thing is presented there. And now the radio frequency ID or RFID has many advantages. First of all, it almost totally eliminates theft, because one of the biggest thefts in the world anyway is identity theft. And so many people here are doing that kind of thing, because what do? They go and steal credit cards and buy things off credit cards and what. There are so many people in this city even who will go to big supermarkets and get people who have giant credit cards, and they get that information and they go and use it to purchase things for themselves. And that's a great deal of theft. But now, if everybody had this wearable technology, you can't steal anything. You're not going to get that information out of somebody's forehead or right hand. If you pull it out of their body, it ceases to be useful. And so that way, it almost totally eliminates theft and all sorts of, you know, other forms of larceny. So it makes life, you know, easier. I mean, that's cool, isn't it? Yeah, unless of course you believe the Bible, and unless you know where it's heading. Okay, then secondly, it makes shopping, banking, and any other kind of purchase, you know, and life a lot easier. So like I told you before, you just walk in and out of a supermarket, the item that you're buying is marked, and as soon as you put it in the trolley, it's priced. And then when you're walking away, the information, all your bank information, is picked from your right hand or your forehead by a scanner. You don't have to go and start putting your items on the desk the way we do that right now when we are shopping. That thing just scans all the information off your head. And so you just roll your trolley out of the supermarket and go home. I mean, isn't that cool? When you get into a banking hall, you don't have to present any card or present anything. You just show up, and even the teller will even know what your name is, because she's seeing it on a computer. And how is she seeing it? Because as soon as you walk into the banking hall, there's that laser thing which reads your information off your right hand or your forehead, and so and puts it straight on the computer of the teller. So when you arrive there, the teller says you, yes, Andrew, how can I help you? And I mean, that sounds so cool. So it makes life easier in all those so many other ways. And the other thing is, it totally eases the flow of immigration. Now, you imagine what the Western, all this illegal immigration, people getting going and disappearing in different countries. That will, I mean, all that ends. As long as you have that, they will be able to trace you anywhere you are in the world. I mean, you can't go and disappear in America if they wanted you. Right now, you can. As long as you stay out of certain, you know, stay away from law enforcement. And as long as you get into their shores and they let you in, if you're supposed to stay 6 months, you can stay for as long as whatever. And it's almost impossible for them to get you. But when you have that, they will be able to get everybody. So it eases immigration, and even all the thing about, you know, visas and what and all those things, it becomes so easy because they do all the background check. Now, if you go to ask for a visa, they will ask you land titles, what, because they want to see if you have a reason to come back. Now, imagine then, they will not ask you all that because they know you can't stay there. They will just come and pick you up from wherever it is you are and deport you straight if you try to stay there, as long as you have that thing in your right hand or in your forehead. And so it eliminates all the necessity for checks, because they have all your background information, what you believe, what your financial status is, and all such information, because that grain of rice can carry as many as 1,000 pages of information concerning you in that grain of rice inside your body. So that means it can put anything. It almost entirely eliminates terrorism. Okay? And because, I mean, there's no, for instance, somebody's going to hide away from. If they just have to make sure everybody gets it, and then that way you cannot hide away from from whatever. They will be able to trace you wherever it is you are. Now, imagine the Boston Marathon bombings. If those people had those things, they would trace you because you're just as easy as a car. You know the car tracker thing, the way it tracks the cars. I mean, they just track you that easily, and they can find you and they can pick you up wherever it is you are. So that way it's marketed as extremely cool, something nice to have, you know. And young people who have been, who have had all this Bible information taken out of them, and especially in the Western world, and then who have been replaced with all this technology and coolness and what, and it becomes so easy for them. But the reason the New World Order people are doing that is not to make life easy for you and so on. They are doing that because they want one thing, which they always want and which they always fight for. Just one thing which they fight for at all times. Everything they do is to create one thing, and that is control. They want to control they want to control all the human beings on earth. So once someone has that mark of the beast, there really is nowhere to hide. So there is nowhere to hide. But the point is that why would people go and get this thing? Now, I'm telling you that it's going to come here really soon. Of course, now here, in this time that we are living, it's not going to be absolutely compulsory. Okay? But they will put so many sweeteners. But in the final 3.5 years, it will be totally compulsory. You don't take it. You either will be killed or martyred or things like that. But right now, it's not going to be absolutely compulsory. But they will put so many sweeteners. For instance, I can tell you that if they said that if you take the mark of the beast in your right hand or in your forehead, you won't need a visa to go to America. There are so many even pastors who will go and get it. And just that. Because, I mean, I've lived among Christians who behave as if the world ends here, as if there is nothing after beyond the grave. In one sentence, they're actually talking about, I mean, they say they are Christians and they believe like Christians. But when you turn around, they actually behave like they are not Christians. They behave like they don't believe there is a world hereafter. They behave like they don't think that this is just a small part of your existence. You existed as a spirit before this. I've told you this before. When God created Adam, he created all the spirits. Yours and mine were created on that day. All the spirits that would ever live. Now, he chooses when you come to inhabit the earth, and your short time on earth determines how you, when you go back after your time on earth, your short time here determines how you live in the life hereafter. Okay, whether you'll be in heaven or hell, but that's just the beginning of it, because even hell is not the same. Hell has grades. I mean, don't think that all hell is the same. It's not going to be the same for the devil as it is going to be for some people who followed him. And then there are some people who will go to hell and they will be in the less tormenting parts, because all those places have grades. Now, I will not get into that right now, but I will tell you that because it's all hell, and you know it's all that torment and hopelessness and everything, but there are grades of it. That's why Jesus tells the people that it will be more tolerable for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment, because there is going to be a day of judgment, of the great white throne judgment, when they will judge those people who are, when Christ will judge those people who are going to hell. That is different from what is called the judgment seat of Christ, which is a judgment for people who are in heaven, but it is a judgment for reward. What reward? Do you get, for instance, the same reward as Apostle Paul, who spent all his life preaching the gospel and gave up his life and everything, and for you all you wanted is to drive good Mercedes Benzes and what, and you lived a very carnal life but went to heaven? Okay, of course you don't get the same reward, and you are in the different level of glory, and you think it doesn't matter as long as I'm in heaven. Let me tell you, when you're there it will matter, because you'll not be able to go to a higher glory, and you'll see people who are in higher glory who can come where you are, but you can't go where they are, and in a way that, you know, to dwell where they are. So it does matter. Okay, now that is the judgment seat of Christ. That is a judgment for reward. Now there's the other judgment, which is the great white throne judgment spoken of in Revelation 21, which is a judgment for those people who are lost. Okay, those people who are going to hell. Now when there is the resurrection of the dead at the rapture, it is the resurrection of the just, of those people who are going to heaven, whose spirits are already in heaven as we speak. However, their bodies will be resurrected. I've told you this before. Their bodies will be resurrected from the Bible says the earth will give up all its dead, and the sea and everything, and their bodies will be resurrected from there, and they will meet up with their spirits, okay, in the air, in the time of the rapture. Now there are so many people, by the way, who are beginning to see dreams of the rapture. People have been telling me they are seeing dreams and visions of the rapture, and basically the Lord is telling them we are actually living in the last of the last days. And now I'm telling you here that people are actually taking the mark of the beast. So when in whatever you're doing, you just understand that we have a short time, so make the most of it. Don't have carnal, I want to drive a good car, I want to do what, which is all good. I also want to, but don't make it the fulcrum of your existence. Just know that we are living in the last of the last days, okay? Now, so on that great white throne judgment, like I was telling you, which is in Revelation 21, there's a judgment seat, the judgment of those who are lost. And some people will get a greater punishment than the others. It is a judgment for punishment. Just like the judgment seat of Christ, which is for believers, is a judgment for reward. I was telling you, when Christ comes, it's the just, those who are in heaven, whose bodies will resurrect. But those who are in hell, their bodies will not resurrect at that time. They will resurrect after the millennium at the great white throne judgment. That's when now those who are the unjust who are in hell will rise up also, rise from the dead, and they will rise up to the great white throne judgment, and they will get the measure of their punishment. Some will get more than others, just know that. Now, how did I get there? Because I was telling you that the point is that I'm telling you that I know some people who behave as if they do not believe in God. They behave as if the world ends here. They behave as if if he died without staying in some big house, or without traveling to some country, or without what, it would be a loss. But let me tell you something. You will go to those places all over and over again, like angels. You'll be like angels, but basically on earth, and you'll be able to go to that place just by mere thought in the millennium. There's no point. Somebody was telling me, the way you talk about homosexuals, if you go to ask for a visa for America, they will not give you one. I said, first of all, if God wants me to be in America, they cannot stop me from getting a visa. They can't. Secondly, by the way, even if I don't go, because I've been there before and there's nothing so special about it, but even if I don't go there, the point is, I will do what God wants me to do, and if I don't go anywhere, so be it. I will go where I can go. The point is, there's nothing that beats the work of God, because right now, as it is right now, we are pushing towards the coming of the Lord, and it is very soon. And I just want you to understand that it is sooner than you think. It is really, really soon. Some sister of mine was telling me how she had a dream, which is almost like what's in Revelation, and she was seeing, you know, those all things, you know, seeming to fall apart and everything. And I'm telling her that's actually an end time dream, and so many people are having dreams of rapture and things like that. So, but I'm telling you, when these people come, they'll put sweeteners to the mark of the beast. I told you, first of all, the sweeteners will involve health, because there's going to be a big problem with health towards the end. But there's going to be technology which is going to involve getting DNA from certain animals and mixing it with human DNA, which is now called stem cell research, which George Bush had stopped because of his Christian beliefs. But the first thing that Obama did, of course, was to, you know, continue the funding of stem cell research. Now they are going to get DNA from certain things. Now there's already talk that they are doing this. I've told you this before, because some athletes are running and not getting tired. There was talk that in China they are actually putting horse DNA in human beings and making sure that they are going to beat Kenyans at the marathon. Why? Because the guy here running with a horse, and with a part human, part horse, because they get the horse DNA and put it in a human being. So now you think the Kenyans are very good at marathon, or our own Stephen Kiprotich, and then you see some Chinese coming and running and not getting tired and overtaking all the Kenyans and the Kiprotiches and winning, and you're like, what happened? How can the Chinese beat Africans? Because we are supposed to have that gene, but the Chinese is actually running on a horse gene, and they have mixed up that. Now they are doing all those sorts of things, so it is going to and it's all part of getting rid of, you know, using high level technology to get rid of certain sicknesses which are endemic right now, cancer and things like that, you know, diabetes and things like that. So the whole point is, then they put sweeteners. You take this mark of the beast, you are not able to get this sickness, you can live for a long time, and you know, and things like that. So many people will take it and will take it willingly. Like I've already said, the RFID chip is already very widespread in the West, in America, in Europe. It will be much easier in Europe. As soon as it lands there, it will just spread, because I mean, I've been to places, I mean, like Sweden, you try telling somebody about the Bible and they look at you as if you've just been fished from a sewer. You look so horrible, even just telling them about praying and what. I mean, of course, Europe is the place where the Antichrist has to come, so that's why they are so ungodly. I mean, the point is, they just don't believe in God. And all this talk about the Bible and everything sounds so almost infantile, even worse than that. You sound like you're a retard. Now, so it will be much easier for them to spread there now. But what the New World Order people want in all of this is control. I've told you that before. Because once you have it, you're controlled by a central computer, which can always locate you and always get the information about you. Okay? But that's not all, because that computer can send out messages straight to your brain, to affect the way you think. Now this, there has been a lot of technology, so many studies have been conducted on how to control minds, but many of them as of now have been focused on how on sending messages to people through the media, through movies, through things like that, through series, and the things that young people like, through cartoons and the things that young people. Now you should watch some of the things I've been seeing where they're promoting the New World Order and chips and everything, actually cartoons which children are watching. Now then you grow up and you tell your child, don't take the cartoon because the Bible says, and the child says, look, I mean, what are you talking about? Because his mind has already been implanted from childhood, when you were busy making money to take him to a very expensive school and not teaching him about the Christian foundations. Then the cartoons are teaching him, and the cartoons are made by New World Order people and Satanists and Freemasons and Illuminati. Now, when you stand up and start telling your children about Jesus Christ and what, he looks at you and says, I mean, are you mad? And he's been brainwashed, and actually he thinks you are the one who is brainwashed. Now that's how they spread through across all of Europe. They start with children. And the people who did it before knew what they were doing. They said, now the old people are too spoiled with their Christianity and Judeo-Christianity. So what we do is let's target the young people. Now the young people are now the new people, the old people who are now professors and what, trying to prove that God doesn't exist, and they are trying to prove in the laboratory that God doesn't exist. Now how stupid can somebody be? Who told you God can be produced, proved in a laboratory? Who even told you he wants to be proved by people who don't want to believe in him anyway? But so now all these studies have been centered around, sending messages to people's brains through mass media. But now, once you take that thing in your right hand or even in your forehead, they'll be able to send messages directly to your brain, okay, to affect the way you think. So that thing transmits messages from the New World Order to affect the way you think. So now people almost think the same. And I see a bit of that in Europe, where people seem to have different views, but they are different views of the same thing. Eventually, when you study what they are thinking, what they are saying, it's all the same, but they are just saying it differently. Okay? And so they kind of sweep you across. And the Bible says anyone who takes the mark of the beast is definitely going to hell. There is no repentance after that. You cannot take it and say, I'm sorry. That is it. Because first of all, they put in you a DNA which is different, which is like it was in the days of Noah. Jesus said, like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of Son of Man. Now, those people, the Bible says, and I've talked about this before, the Bible says that the imagination of their heart was continually evil all the time. And I told you the reason that was because they were angels. Now, I want you to understand that something here, that in the first 1,000 years of history, the people who lived in that time had nobody to teach them about God. They had no scriptures, they had no writings, they had nothing. Okay, so the oral history which came on from that time was basically Adam telling people how it was about God, telling his children Seth and what, and Enoch, who had a relationship with God. But and I know the other people, Noah and so on, carrying on that oral history, but there was nothing that they based on, no writings, because all those books were actually written by Moses, who lived so many years. I mean, afterwards, even the story of Abraham was not written by Abraham, it was written by Moses much, much later. Okay, when now people could write, and God told him everything that happened from the beginning, the story of creation and what was all written by Moses. Now, before that time, there was nothing that people could go on. So now what happened is God used to send angels most of the time to come and minister to people. And that's why you see, even in the days of Abraham, there were angels. An angel comes and shows up, and an angel comes and shows up. In the days of Lot, angels come. So so it was not uncommon for people to know that these are angels. But what happened is when these angels came, and some of them came here, some of them wanted to take on a human form, and they eventually started having sexual relations with daughters of men, whom they admired, and daughters of men, and so they produced a race of giants. Now that's all in the Bible. They produced a race of giants, and if you read the Bible history and all these things, you will see that now these angels, those are the angels whom Jude speaks about, those who were corrupted with the human, who produced that race of genes. God has kept them in everlasting chains for the day of judgment, and they are there now. Jude speaks about them in the New Testament. Now what happens is these people come and they affect the human DNA, so they produce that DNA spreads across the world. Remember, there were not too many people on the earth at that time, so that DNA of a mixture of supernatural and natural beings corrupts human beings. And because they have a DNA of demons, okay, they cannot serve God. They are incapable of serving God. How is that? That's why the Bible says the imagination of their heart is continually evil all the time. Now, that is not possible for a human being like you and me. Even the most evil person that you know about, okay, even a witch doctor, cannot have the imagination of his mind evil continually all the time. He has to have some good thought. He has to think something good every once in a while. You cannot be 100% evil. Now, the Bible says that time they were evil. Now, it says Noah was the only one who still had Noah and his children were the only ones who still had the human DNA. And if God had not caused the flood to kill all those people, eventually all the human flesh would have been contaminated with that DNA, and ultimately all people produced would have that demonic DNA and would not be capable of believing in God. So now God destroys all those people and leaves Noah, who has the human DNA of creation. Now, the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Jesus said that actually in Luke 17, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, that's what happened in the days of Noah, when an evil DNA comes and corrupts human beings, and they are incapable. Actually, they are not capable, not that they don't want to. Right now, people who refuse the Lord just don't want to believe in Him. They have chosen not to. But that time they will be incapable of believing in the Lord. That's why when you take the mark of the beast, it comes with so many other things, and then you take on a whole new DNA, a whole new personality, and you cannot believe in God. It's impossible for you to believe in God. Anyhow, that's it. You basically put a seal of the devil on yourself, and that means you're going to have to spend eternity with him. There is no way back. The Bible makes that very, very clear. Now, that's why Jesus said, be careful, beware, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't just watch, pray also. You have to pray. Don't just listen, because the reason the watchman is here, to help you watch and to help you see these things, which probably wouldn't see if I wasn't coming and pointing them out to you. But you have to watch and pray all the time and make sure that, you know, when it comes, you know what they are doing, you know exactly what this is about, and you're equipped in terms of knowledge to resist it when it does come. So now, those people who want to have mind control over you, now, actually, as a matter of fact, the Bible says that, because that helium battery which will be in the microchip in people's bodies at that time, now, the plagues of the wrath of God, which will come in the second 3.5 years, and if you've been listening to this program, then you know what I mean by the second 3.5 years. If you haven't, ask for the recordings from the beginning and take time to listen to them. Don't just get that. Take time to listen to them and bring yourself up to scratch, because right now I'm speaking like somebody I'm talking to people who already know this, all this way from the beginning. Now, of course, there are people who want to know without going through the process of what it takes to know. I remember, a pastor sent me an email, and he was telling me that, where do you get all these things? Where do you get them from? And so on and so forth. So, I don't know. I thought about the email, then I felt the Lord telling me that he actually is supposed to be an end time preacher as well. That's why he's interested. So I responded to him and told him, listen, what do you want to know about? What particular do you want to know about? So he told me, I want to know about everything in regard to the end time. So I told him now, I wanted to bring him up to speed so that he can, understand these things, because I'd felt from the Lord that he's actually supposed to be preaching them. So we exchanged a few emails, and I told him, listen, get the recordings and listen to them up to the current, then we can meet and then we discuss certain things and what. So he told me that he couldn't, I think he's a technophobe like me, he was having problems downloading the stuff. So I even offered that I can get for you CDs, because I can do that for all the messages. If you really are interested, let me know. He kept quiet. Now the point is, he thought that there is some place where I go and pick all this information and come and teach it. And so he just wanted to get it the easy way, because he thinks there is an easy way. What he doesn't know is that I have been following end time stuff from 1996. When I was young and what and all this. But the thing is, I was fascinated by it. So I started following all these things. And there is no one place. People think that I can tell you, go to this website and you'll find everything I'm talking about. There is no such website. There is no such thing. I have been following these things for a long time, and I read so many things. I've read books, I've read websites, so many things that I read to get this sort of thing. Now, if somebody wants to get, now by contrast, of course, there's somebody who even is just, who's just an interesting party, who is even one of our partners right now. He's a journalist. He started listening to this. He got saved, I think, about 2 years ago, started listening to this. And it fascinated him, but I also know that God has called him to preach end times, but now he knows everything. Actually, he's the one who sends me some of the things he has read, which are prophecy in the news, things which he reads which are of interest. He sends them to my email, and sometimes sends me WhatsApp clips of interesting things which I mean I had not found myself, because he's brought himself up to speed. Now the thing is, because we live in a time when people want, you know, people want, and I've had this thing with so many preachers, they don't want to learn, they want to get enough to go and preach. They stopped learning, all they get is enough to go and preach. So he wants to get all this, and then he goes and preaches without understanding it, without basically internalizing it. Now, if you don't internalize it and you just go and preach, you're going to impress a few people, but it's not going to be of benefit, not to them, not to you, because it is not for you. And yet, if you just took time, you'd basically bring yourself up to speed and you'd understand all these things, which is what I want. Okay, which is what I want. I want everybody to know all these things, which is why I say anybody who wants to recordings, just send an email. It's totally free. They will send them out to you at the end of the month. But if you know somebody who receives the emails, you don't have to ask the emails from me or from the watchman. You can just ask that person to forward it to you. It's just that simple. There is no copyright. There is nothing. Anybody can get them. You can send them to as many people as you want. So if you know somebody who tells you about the program, ask him, do you get the recordings? If he says yes, tell him just forward me the message, because it's the same link. They just keep on updating it. So tell him to forward you the same link. That way you don't even have to send an email to me. But of course, if you don't know anybody, then you can send an email and then we deal with that. So I'm telling you here that Iriam battery, I just had to digress into that because I felt led to do it. Now, that helium battery, which they put in the people, is going to cause a sore. When you read from Revelation chapter 16, verse 1, eventually that thing is going to turn against those people who get it when the virus are released of the wrath of God, starting from Revelation 16. Those people who have the mark of the beast are going to suffer, because helium is a very dangerous thing to put in your body. But right now, people are not being, you know, really told how dangerous that is, but it's eventually going to become dangerous. And this is what is going to happen. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on earth. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon earth, and the foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped the image. Now that thing is going to burst out, and that lithium is going to go into the body and create a sore. Now the word sore used here is the same as the sores that Lazarus had in that parable, or in Luke, I think 16 or 17, Lazarus, the poor man who was with the rich man, who had sores which the dog would want. They are kind of incurable sores. Now these things are going to turn against these people eventually. I just thought to tell you that. Now I'm telling you that all this is Bible, but it is reality. It is happening in our time. I mean, the Bible is so real right now, you cannot deny it unless you have, you know, unless you've chosen that you don't want to believe. But it's totally undeniable. It's right there. I told you that this year, some of the things I told you, 15 things that are going to happen in 2015, one of the things I told you is there are going to be more natural disasters. I mean, more disasters. Both natural and also, you know, from transportation and everything in the world. Now, of course, we woke up to the news yesterday of a German Wings plane, which crashed into the French Alps, killing all 150 people on board. And now it is mysterious because there was no weather condition to have caused it. The plane was flying at 38,000 feet above sea level and just plummeted within 8 minutes, had plummeted and hit the French Alps and basically disintegrated around the mountains in a very remote place. Now, everybody is shocked. How did this happen? Because there wasn't even a distress signal. There was nothing of the like. Now, it started, of course, with Obama, because before Obama came, I'll just rush you through this history. In the reign of George Bush, Israel and America always coordinated their intelligence information. And actually, so many times they put out briefings which were similar because they had been coordinated between each other. But the first thing Obama did when he took office is he stopped intelligence information that America was getting. He stopped sending it to Israel. So that way, Israel wasn't knowing what America was doing. Then America increased its aid to the Palestinian organization, increased it drastically to the point where it's almost now like a big fraction less of course, but big to what America is sending to Israel. So now they are sending aid to the Palestinian organization, which was increased tremendously under Barack Obama. Then America started increasing pressure on Israel. Netanyahu started by trying to appease, you know, Obama and tell him that, you know, basically work with him. But I think after some time he realized that Obama was very hostile. And then some members of the Israeli intelligence organization said that they have written off the reign of Barack Obama. That's why Netanyahu openly backed Mitt Romney for the presidential elections in 2012, hoping that he would beat Barack Obama, but that didn't happen. And but they said they had written off the Obama administration. Now that started a clear path, more or less Cold War between America and Israel, which was almost unthinkable before. But all this has to happen because Israel has to be separated from all the people, because the Bible says that God's glory was going to other people when Israel was protected, when America was in what? Was in collision with Israel. But this has to happen for a number of reasons. America has to first break off Israel, number one, so that when Israel goes and gets major victories, they will give glory to God and not glory to America. Okay? But number two, America has to go down as a nation, and it is going to go down. That is Bible prophecy, and it's going to happen this year. It will start with the dollar going down, and what? It is going to happen, but it cannot happen as long as America is in good relations with Israel, because throughout history, God judges all nations according to the way they deal with his children Israel. That's how he judges them. That is a fact throughout history. Now, because the Egyptians killed the children of Israel by throwing them into the, killing them at birth, God drowned all the armies of Pharaoh. And basically how God judges countries according to the way they deal with Israel. Now, America, and it has happened throughout history and what. Now, one of the reasons America grew up as a big nation, it was when there was a big Spanish Inquisition in 1492 in Europe, and Jews were being sent away. Christopher Columbus went and discovered America, and so many of the Jews went to America, and actually America became kind of like another home for the Jews. So now they get favor from God, and that's Bible, whether you like it or not. Now, so for America to come under some kind of judgment, they have to first be separated from Israel, and Obama is doing a very good job in doing that. So then Obama stopped flights which were traveling Tel Aviv. When? In September last year. Why in September? That because there was that was when the bombs from Gaza City were flying into Israel, but none of them was even hitting because Israel was intercepting them in the air. But they said that Tel Aviv is so unsafe, so they stopped all flights going to Tel Aviv. And they were doing that on purpose because September and October is the highest tourism time, and so many of the American Christians, or you just have to watch your TVs and see that so many of the American Christians actually travel to Israel at that time, and they take a lot of money to the Israel economy. So they were trying to cut that money, and it was deliberate by the Democrats and Obama to cut the money going to Israel at that time by stopping the flights. But what happened? Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, actually had to charter a flight and went with cameras and everything and landed in Tel Aviv and told everybody, Obama is lying, you, Tel Aviv is safe. So when they were put under pressure by the Republicans, Obama had to lift the ban. But he had done it, he had planned it, and he had actually instituted the ban. Then towards the election, of course, Obama sent so many of his campaign agents to go to Israel and make sure that Netanyahu fails to win the prime ministership. He eventually did. Netanyahu, of course, responds in kind by going to address Congress without Obama's authority, something that actually undermined Obama's authority. But there is one prophet in America, a man called Kim Clement, who's prophesied before and said that in this year, 2015, he said the prophet is going to stand before the Congress in America and address the Congress in America. Now, when Netanyahu stood there and did it, this prophet said that now that is the prophet. Now, what he's meaning, he's not trying to say that Obama Netanyahu is a prophet because he doesn't even believe in Jesus, but he's saying that the things he warned those people about are going to come to pass. In other words, he's carrying a prophetic voice. And what did he warn America about? He warned them about the Iranian nuclear weapon. Revelation 9 says that there is going to be a war that is going to start from the river Euphrates, and I've told you that's a purely Islamic river because it goes through Turkey, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, and that war is going to kill one third of the people. On the other, that's in excess of 2 billion people. Now, that war is going to involve nuclear. That's what the Bible says, because from the descriptions, people's, you know, meat melting off their sockets and everything. So it's going to involve nuclear. And now, it seems it is going to involve Iranian nuclear things, because the reality is that Iran is developing nuclear weapons and they cannot be trusted with them. Now, don't believe that just because Israel has nuclear weapons, Iran should have them too. Israel and Iran are two different entities. Iran cannot be trusted with those nuclear weapons because they will use them, while of course the others have them just for certain purposes. But that war is going to break up, and it is in the Bible, it is definitely going to happen. Then when that comes, we'll talk a bit about the River Euphrates War in detail in the next show. In the meantime, though, now I have to end it here. Thank you so much for joining The Watchman. Hear from me next Wednesday.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Is he alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on.